Thank you, Mark. That was great singing. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. Thank you for being here. What a good crowd this morning. And my wife and I head back to China tomorrow night. We're looking forward to getting back to China. And some of you know about this, but I'm just thankful my son-in-law is alive. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thursday night after the service, we got home and I got a text message from my daughter, and she said, pray, Chris has disappeared. I thought, man, he left her already. Somebody say amen. You know how we are, man. First thing I asked her, I said, check your savings account, checking account. Has it been emptied out? Amen. And they lost all contact. The phone was dead. He didn't have a charger, no charger in the car. He was on his way to the church camp with Monterey Park. And for like 13 hours, he just disappeared. And, you know, I'm preaching next Sunday, Easter service in China. I had to contact him. I said, hey, you might have to have a substitute to fill in for me. I might be doing a funeral service here, you know. And what's going on? And so then on Friday, about noon, 1 o'clock, my daughter Joy and I and two others, we jumped in a car and started driving out to Hesperia to look for my son-in-law. And the police were looking, everybody was looking, and we got to near Hesperia, the last place he was located before his phone died. And so we got there, and we're going through a parking lot, and we're looking for his car, looking for a dead body, whatever we could find, you know. And there was nothing there. I said, you know, let me use the restroom while we're here. So I go in, and my daughter wanted to get a Coke or something. And Susan Beck, Kyle Beck's wife, was talking to Kyle. And he's telling us, well, don't go down these roads. We've already checked these roads. And if you're going to go down a road, go here. And then all of a sudden, Kyle Beck said, we found him. He's here. He just walked in the camp like the mountain man, you know, Duck Dynasty or something. And what had happened is the night before, about 9 o'clock at night, dark, it was raining. He went down the wrong road, got stuck in the mud. He was tired. He got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so he said, I'm sleeping this one off, amen? And he just went to sleep. Well, by the way, I didn't get any sleep. I'm glad he did. I'm thinking, man, my daughter's only been married a couple months. The baby's only 2 weeks old. I got to do his funeral already. But how's that insurance policy, Joy? But anyway, so, and then he walked. He walked 6 miles up the mountain or wherever it's at and just showed up. And praise the Lord. So I never asked for a son-in-law, but I got him. Since I've got him, I want to keep him again. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 22. Thank you for being here. Let's all stand. I think Pastor's here. We're glad to have Pastor. Yesterday, my wife and I went to visit Pastor, and it's always an experience to visit my brother. And yesterday, he was watching a football game. Some kind of classic, you know, old New England Patriots, Kansas City. I was going to say Kansas City Royals, Kansas City Chiefs. He's watching a football game. And so my wife was on one side of the bed. I was on the other side of the bed. And I'm not a techie. I said, how do you turn the volume down? And so my wife's looking. I said, yeah, turn the volume down. And Pastor Joe looked like he was getting irritated. And my wife looked at me. She said, Johnny, I think he wants to listen to the game. I said, no, he wants to listen to me. I mean, everybody wants to listen to me, right? You know. And I said, watch. I said, Pastor Joe, do you want to listen to me or do you want to listen to the football game? He said, the football game. I said, wow, you know, whatever. Okay. Last time I visit you. Okay. And my wife, I told my wife, I said, I think he's just joking. She said, he's not joking. He wished you'd leave. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Speaking of pastor, this used to be one of his favorite passage. He used to refer to this all the time, especially in the old days, like Brother Charlie was talking about, Brother Chim, the old Cambodian Baptist days on Anaheim and Raymond. those of you who were part of the church family, those were the days, amen? Those were the days when, you know, our church members got shot on the church property, and we had gang fights on the church property. We didn't have a building. Basically, we had a tarp, and it had holes in. Every time it rained, we got soaking wet. But my brother used to love this passage. He used to refer to this passage because it really did remind you of our old days, the Cambodian Baptist days. How many of you were with us Cambodian Baptist days, okay? See, most of them left. They got wet in the rain, amen? But it was just, you know, it was different in those days. And you've heard us talk about it. We used to have this grandpa. He'd be about my age now, but grandpa, he was drunk every time you ever saw him. And what he would do is he would hang over the fence, and we would be singing, you know, and he would holler, "I love Jesus too," you know. Okay, whatever. But those were the Adullam Cave days, and this was a passage of scripture that Pastor Joe would always often refer to. And I want to take a couple moments this morning. I'm going to use it again this evening, sort of a part one and a part two message, if you would. The Bible says David, verse number one, 1 Samuel chapter 22, David therefore departed thence. And by the way, a little bit of background, David is running from Saul, and we don't have time to go into the background of the story. Saul, in his pride and his arrogance, he's jealous of David, and so he's chasing David. David's going to spend about 10 years in the wilderness, just basically running from King Saul. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. By the way, Adullam means, it basically has two meanings, justice for the people or a place of refuge. And when his brethren, all his father's house, heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone, and this is the verse that my brother would often refer to in the old Cambodian Baptist days, and everyone that was in distress, can I get you say distress? Distress. And everyone that was in debt, can I get you say debt? How many of you in debt today? No, I'm not going to. Okay. And everyone that was discontented. Can you say discontented? This is not exactly what most pastors are looking for in the church family. Somebody say amen. But this is what David has. He's got a group of people who are in distress. They're in debt. And they're discontented. It says they gathered themselves unto him, unto David, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, "Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with thee, excuse me, till I know what God will do for me." Now, by the way, David, you have to, there's a lot of uncertainty. He's hiding in the wilderness. He's being chased by the king. He's fearing for his life. His family's gathered, well, along with others, gathered themselves with him. He's not sure what the future holds. And by the way, let me say this. When you choose to follow Christ, there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, as Americans, I live in Asia. They live a little bit different there. But as Americans, we want certainty. You know, we have our Franklin Covey five-year day planner. Somebody, five-year planner. Can I tell you something? When you follow the Lord, the planner doesn't always work. Somebody say amen. And by the way, it definitely doesn't work in Asia. I'm just telling you that right now. There's a lot of uncertainty. As Americans, we like everything to be laid out. We want to know everything. But the Christian life's not like that. And we need to understand that. Verse number four, and he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, "Abide not in the hold," or the cave. By the way, it was a ridge of caves, about 2 miles from where David had victory over Goliath. "Depart and get thee into the land of Judah." Then David departed and came unto the forest of Harath. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you bless the few moments that we have this morning. We're so thankful for Pacific Baptist Church. We're thankful for the wonderful choir special, The Value of One. We're thankful, Lord, for the special music that Mark provided today, just reminding us. We're so glad that Jesus didn't walk away. He went to the cross for us. We're thankful, Father, for all that are here this morning. I pray that you'd bless the few moments that we have, speak to our hearts. If there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, this morning that they would trust Christ. And Father, for those of us, most of us this morning, we know Jesus. I pray that we would be encouraged and challenged in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love this story, and we don't have a lot of time to go through a lot of the background, but again, as I already mentioned, David is on the run, and he's running from King Saul, and David has done nothing wrong at all. David has a heart for God, and by the way, he loves his king, but he's on the run, and so he finds his place. It's called the Cave of Adullam, and Bible scholars tell us it's not really one cave. It's like a ridge of caves, and so David's there. His family gathers, and eventually 400 men gather with him. From those men, we find eventually David's mighty men. We don't have time to look at it this morning, but we could look at different passages in Samuel and the Chronicles of the great exploits of David's mighty men. But this is the beginning stages, and we just read, you know, they're in distress, they're in debt, and they're discontented. And by the way, normally when a ministry starts, when a church starts, that's how it is. We used to joke about it in the early days of Cambodian Baptist Church, and just about any church is this way. I mean, man, you're just happy if anybody shows up. Somebody say amen. In the early days, Pastor Joe used to talk about it, how in the early days, you know, you would hire people to park their cars in the parking lot to look like somebody showed up, amen? Now, we don't have that problem anymore. Now, we're trying to get you out of the parking lot, amen? But here's David. This is in the beginning stages of some really good days in the future. Now, if you were to look at the crowd in distress and debt and discontented, you may not be impressed. Now, by the way, many of them were formerly soldiers under King Saul. They had become discontented. They are the ones who were fearful in 1 Samuel chapter 17 when David stands against Goliath, and Goliath is calling out for somebody to fight him. And all the soldiers of Saul, including Saul, are saying, we're not going to be a part of this at all. These are the men who, in chapter 23, we're going to see, they still have fear. But David still finds in these men greatness. And you know, there comes a time in all of our lives, and by the way, in every ministry and in every home, there comes a time in every individual's life where we have to have what I call an Adullam cave experience. There comes a time in our lives where, and by the way, it's more than one, but there comes a time in our lives where we have to recognize that, you know, things aren't working out maybe the way I wanted it to work out. And by the way, some of you are here this morning. Some of you, your marriage isn't what you thought it was going to be. You're in distress. Some of you this morning, some of us this morning, there's pain and anxiety, and there's hurt, and even though we know the Lord, we're hurting. And some of us this morning are having a hard time seeing next week, let alone next year. And that's how these men were. These men had served under King Saul. These men were loyal soldiers under King Saul. And all of a sudden, Saul just starts going berserk. I think it was Brother Joseph mentioned today, you know, America. Somebody say amen about America. Talking about berserk. By the way, you have no idea how berserk it looks unless you leave here and you look. You know, if you're here, you don't realize how berserk it looks. But those of us who are overseas and see it, it's like, what in the world is going on? Yeah. And as God's people, sometimes we get to that place where things aren't working out the way we hope it to work out, hope that it would work out. Man, look, if you're a Christian, if you love God, and especially if you're a little bit older, like Brother Pichardo, somebody say amen. If you're a little bit older, you're bound to be saying, what in the world is going on? Somebody say amen. I was telling somebody the other day, I was preaching last week at a church last week. And I was mentioning, I grew up in Long Beach. And I can remember in Long Beach, I can remember where we would leave our bedroom windows open at night when we went to bed. Somebody say amen. I'm going to guess most of you didn't leave your bedroom window open last night. Amen. I can remember that we would leave our car doors unlocked. Yep. By the way, I used to steal cars. They were easy to steal. Somebody say amen. I'm really easy to steal. And nowadays, man, you got to have low jack or something. I don't know whatever it's called. And I can remember we would leave our car doors unlocked. And the car, especially the Chevys, were easy to steal because the ignition, all you had to do is, you didn't even need a key. Those days are long gone. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Now, you know, you go down the street and you're over locking the doors and, you know, you're hiring security. Somebody say amen. Yeah. So as Christians, just like these guys, we get to a place and we get discouraged. Distress sets in. You know, I have 20, I don't forget how many, 20 grandchildren. We got a 21st on the way. They just like ever ready battery. Man, they just keep coming, amen? You know, as a grandfather, I think, what kind of country are my children going to inherit? And my grandchildren going to inherit? How many of you ever think that? Anybody ever think like that? Or maybe I'm just a little odd. Well, I am odd, but see, that's what's going on in this story. Here are some men who they're in distress, their debt, and we don't know if that's financial debt, but in other words, they're down and out. They're discouraged about what the future holds. Their king has just went nuts, and their king is chasing David, and they know that David's not done anything wrong. In their eyes, David is a hero. Just a few chapters before that, they see David beat Goliath. They see that David stays loyal to the king. I mean, that David stays loyal all the years while he's being chased by the king. And they're thinking, you know what? David's not the bad guy in this story. And so they gather around David, and they're in this cave. And then if we go into the future chapters, we see that God is going to mold and make some really great men that we call David's mighty men. This morning, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what pain you're experiencing. But I do know this. I've been a Christian long enough, and I know the Word of God well enough. I don't know it well, but I know it well enough to know this. Whatever you're going through, it's an Adullam cave experience that God's going to use, if you allow it, to catapult you to great exploits for God. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, the other day when I get the text message, you know how our minds think. I get the text message from my daughter, and it's 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I'm thinking, really? You're kidding me. And I begin to think, man, I was just here a few months ago. I was here for my grandbabies. I did my grandbabies' memorial service. I've got my brother, Pastor Joe. He's sitting in the hospital. And, that, you know, I'm thinking about all these things. And immediately I'm thinking, wow. And so when I'm texting China and said, hey, I need you to be ready. I may not be coming back to China this week. I may not be able to preach for the Easter service this week. And I'm thinking, my sister yesterday, my sister Annie, we went out to eat after I visited my brother, Pastor Joe, yesterday. And she said immediately, as soon as they heard about it, one of her sons said, man, what is with it with that family? Somebody say amen. Yeah. By the way, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, God, I don't know how much more I can handle. I don't know how much more I can handle if something serious happens here. And I sent a text to a couple of my family members. I said, pray that I have wisdom when I talk to my daughter. See, some of you, that's where you're at. And the longer we're saved, you know, when we first get saved, many of us, we were lied to and said, you get saved, you give your life to Christ, you give your heart to Christ, you surrender to God, everything's going to be good. Can I just tell you, that's a lie. That is an absolute lie. Everything will work out for good, but not everything's going to be good. And so this morning, in the few moments that we don't have much time. In a few moments we have, what I want to do is I want to remind you, I want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through today, no matter how bleak the future looks, no matter who has turned on you, no matter what pain you're experiencing, God has a purpose and a plan. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It might be your marriage. It might be your children. I tell people, now that I have children and grandchildren, I'm going, man, it was a lot easier being a parent than being a grandparent. Somebody says, wow. It could be your children. There may be somebody in here, your children have rebelled and they've walked away from God. Maybe there's somebody terminally sick in your family. I don't know what your situation is, but I do know this, that God is faithful. And so as they're all gathering together in distress and debt and discontent, and we'll talk a little bit more about it tonight, they're all gathering together. They're just like you and me. There are no heroes in the Christian life. Somebody say amen. I tell people, missionaries are not heroes. We're just like you. By the way, these Bible characters, they're not heroes. They're people just like you and me. They have the same fears. They have the same pains, the same anxieties. And you can imagine them all sitting around, and they're gathering together, and they're wondering, what does the future hold? But I want you to notice, if you still have your Bibles open, it says in verse number 2, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves. Can you say gathered themselves? Gathered themselves unto him. By the way, David is a picture, an Old Testament picture of Christ. And so the thought this morning is simply this. When you're in distress, when you're in debt, when you're discontented, when you're discouraged, when you're in despair, what is the answer? Gather yourselves unto him.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what pain you're feeling. I don't know what distress you're going through. I don't know the despair. I don't know the discouragement. I don't know the depression. We're all going through something a little bit different today. But I do know the answer is to gather ourselves to Him.
Amen.
To Him. I can look back on my life, and there's been a lot of pain. My father was murdered. My mother died of cancer. A nephew at 13 years old ran across the street, was hit by a car, was ushered into eternity. My younger sister died, went to sleep one Sunday night. She died, went to heaven. Pastor Joe now for 4.5 years has been in the hospital.
Yep.
I had a grandbaby go to heaven 6 months ago, and more. I mean, my wife's brother committed suicide, and I'm asking my daughter, did Chris have guns with him? Was he despondent? You know, you're thinking about those things. But here's one thing I've learned through all these experiences. Jesus is always there.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
He's always there. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but Jesus said, "Lo, I will be with you always."
Right.
And we could cast our cares upon Him because we know that He cares for us. Maybe nobody else in the auditorium understands what we're going through, but He understands.
Yeah.
Maybe others that we know don't care about what we're going through, but He does. Maybe others, when we try to explain our situation, how we feel and the pain, they just look at us and they don't get it. But He gets it.
Yes, that's right.
And so in this story, we have these men, including His family, by the way, men, they gather themselves unto Him. And as they gather themselves unto Him, there's going to be a long process in the wilderness. But these are going to be men who are going to do great exploits for God. By the way, that's not only for an individual, that's for a group of people, that's for a church family. I think one of the reasons Pastor Joe liked this passage of Scripture, one of the many reasons back in the old Cambodian Baptist days, because it was just like an Adullam's cave. We didn't have anything. We didn't have air. We didn't have padded pews. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have all the things that we have today. Thank God we have them today. We didn't have those things. We didn't look at a big building. We didn't have a building. We had a little gray box. It was too small to meet in, so we had to meet under the tarp. Those of you, hey, Pastor Joe's garage got blown up. So it's just like, wow. But you know, God was doing something. And so when I come back here in a visit, and by the way, I'll mention this tonight, I think Pacific Baptist Church is healthier today than it was 5 years ago. But when I come through and I'm taking pictures and I'm looking at all these people, I'm thinking, man, God's been really good. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been without a struggle. And there was a long period of time where all of our preacher friends, our sending pastor, used to be Pastor Gethsemane Baptist Church, he thought Cambodian Baptist Church was a joke. He said, that's not a real church, whatever that means. We had a lot of friends who just thought that what Pastor Joe was doing was just like, not even. Starting a church for a bunch of refugees? But you know, Pastor Joe believed God. And by the way, Brother Myers was with him from day one. Pastor Myers was with him day one. Just believed God.
Yep.
And they went through the struggles. And they went through the pain. Pastor Joe, I think Pastor Joe was pastor of the church for about 10 years before he got a salary. Running like 400. But they were all teenagers. They were all kids. Teenagers don't have money. Somebody say amen. Unless they steal it. By the way, in those days, we had a lot of guys who did have money, but they stole it, trust me. But here's the thing. He just stayed faithful. Pastor Joe and Miss Mary and Pastor Myers and Miss Alma, they just stayed faithful.
That's right.
And they were managing apartments forever. You say, why? Do they like managing? No. Anyway. But they just believed God.
Amen.
They believed God had something for them. And then so today we've got this full house. Place is packed. There's hardly an empty seat in here. And I'm just going to tell you, this is not normal. And we got people sitting out on the patio. How many years have we had people sit on patio? We're like a crazy church. Somebody say amen. Churches, when I tell people, when I go to churches and I say we have people sitting on the patio, they say, you have what? And Brother Jim said we have Sunday school classes in the restroom. Now, I don't know if we do, but I wouldn't doubt it. We've had them everywhere else. Do we still have the Sunday school class in your backyard? That used to be my Sunday school class. And you have a dog, right? I wanted to kill that thing. But anyway, that's a Doolum Cave stuff, okay? I'm going there for our Sunday school class, walking around the dogs, you know, okay? And Sunday school class, our children, if they ever have a Sunday school class in a room, will not know how to act.
Yeah.
Our teenagers, we've never had rooms. But see, God puts us through stuff. We go through stuff. How long have we been in a building program? Since Moses gave us the Ten Commandments. Can I get an amen on that? It's like, hello, what in the world? Could somebody give some extra money or something? But see, God puts us through these things. And if we stay faithful, and if we gather ourselves unto Him, in due time,
yes, sir.
God raises up some mighty men. And so we got a full house here. We got a Christian school. We have a Bible college. We have missionaries over in Asia. And God's doing some amazing things over there. Here's the whole message this morning, part two tonight. But here's the whole message this morning. I don't know what you're going through. And if you told me, I may not understand. But He knows.
Yes.
And He understands. And He has a purpose. He's just taking you through a refining. How many of you would say, I need a little refining today? Anybody? By the way.
Yeah.
By the way, if you ask my wife, does your husband need any refining? She'll go. Yeah. Yeah. If you ask my wife, has she ever went through a Doolum's cave? She'll say, for 36 years.
Yeah.
His name is Johnny. God has a purpose and plan for your life as an individual. God has a purpose and plan for your marriage.
Yes.
God has a purpose and plan for your family.
Yes, sir.
God has a purpose and plan for this church family. Things don't always work out how we thought it was going to work out. Sometimes we're in the wilderness. Sometimes we're in a Doolum's cave, but if we will gather ourselves unto Him, it's only a matter of time that people will be talking about David's mighty men. Not, by the way, not because we're mighty, but because He's mighty. This morning as I was going over these notes, this thought came to my mind. Our greatness, with parentheses, before man is determined by our surrender before God. God may be putting you through the ringer right now. You may be going through the fire. But it's not in vain. God has a purpose. God has a plan. for your life, for this ministry, for your marriage. And while you're going through the fire, gather yourself around him. Because he's always faithful.
Yes.
Let's stand. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'll turn it over, I think, to Brother Joseph.